Hello there. Welcome to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and I am here to talk all things private practice, helping you to build your vision of the private practice of your dreams. Welcome, and thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening. Today's podcast episode is going to be on a topic that I've had a lot of requests to do, which is running your staff meeting. Staff meetings can be very long and arduous. I don't know how many of us had jobs in the past where we sat through a staff meeting and, you know, about half an hour in, you're wondering what you could possibly do to get yourself out of that room. But we don't want staff meetings to be like that. We want staff meetings to actually be something that our staff is looking forward to, that is productive for everybody and actually helps move the needle of progress forward for the business as a whole. So what I'm going to talk about today are kind of our format for how we do a staff meeting, and then, you know, some general rules that we go by that are kind of standing rules all the time. And hopefully this is helpful for you guys. So jumping right into it, general rules that we have for a staff meeting. I only allow 1 hour for staff meetings. That's it. And I fully admit that's a personal choice. I don't have an attention span for this stuff longer than about an hour. That's my ADHD, and I'll fully own that. But most of your staff isn't going to have an attention span longer than an hour either. And if you are needing more than an hour to go through the agenda items for your staff meeting, odds are you probably need to be having staff meetings more often at this point. And there may be agenda items that you have on there that like really shouldn't be waiting until a staff meeting, waiting until you're doing a full hour block staff meeting. Maybe these are things that need to be brought up, you know, more as a, you know, quick weekly check-ins, or you guys need to have like, you know, a Monday morning round together where you all talk about some of these housekeeping items. So if you're finding that your list is just super long, odds are you probably need to be doing little mini meetups throughout the week or like once a week, and then saving some of these bigger things for your actual staff meeting. So we're talking about a staff meeting. Generally, we do them once a month, once every couple of months. Never go longer than an hour. Rule number two, there are no complaints allowed. That is not what we do in a staff meeting. There are ideas allowed. And the difference for this, for our staff, is that if you have something that is a problem and you have a complaint, it is your responsibility, if you're going to put it on the meeting, that you actually have at least two solutions to that actual issue. Like, that comes as a set. One complaint, two possible solutions, so that everybody can go through them together. And then all topics, this is the third rule, all topics are submitted ahead of time. We don't do last minute, hey, I have an item that needs to be added. Hey, I wanted to talk about that. We don't do that. If you have something, put some thought into it ahead of time, give it to the office manager, or if you don't have an office manager, the physician, ahead of time. It needs to be to them within 2 to 3 days of the office meeting. And then all of that gets put on the agenda, and then the agenda goes out to everybody, like, you know, either earlier that day or the day before. Now, the reason that I do the all topics submitted ahead of time rule is it's those extra things that people like to add on at the last minute. Like, oh yeah, since we're talking about this, let's add on these other 10 things that need to be addressed because they're kind of related to that. That's what makes these meetings just go on forever. So if everybody has to actually put thought into it ahead of time, it does tend to really, really condense down what everybody is bringing to the table. So hopefully that's helpful. I would just let your staff know ahead of time, hey, this is how we are now doing things. It's usually pretty well received, actually. So the next part's going to be the formatting of the staff meeting. I typically format in 5 categories, essentially. The very first part, part one, is going to be sharing wins. And everybody has to go around and share some kind of win that is going on in their life that is not work-related. Seriously, if they have nothing else going on, like, fine, it can be work-related. But, you know, examples are, I talked about when I finally got my greenhouse put up this last spring. Like, that was my personal win. I think sharing wins as a team helps kind of bring in that relationship outside of work. It helps humanize everybody and let, you know, your coworkers and your colleagues know that there, you have other stuff going on other than work. Like, we're here, we're doing this together, but there are other things that I'm excited about. So I think it also sets a good tone for the meeting itself, everybody's coming into it with kind of a, I'm thinking of something positive, you know, mind frame. The second part is where we actually get into our agenda items. And we kind of break it into like departments, you know, so I have like back office, I have front office, we have physician stuff, office manager stuff. And you can name that whatever you want. But basically, we go through kind of by department, each of the items on the agenda. And this is the stuff that the employees have brought forward. This is the stuff that me and my office manager have come up with that we need to talk through. And we follow the same rules. You know, I mean, I absolutely, if I have a problem with something, I've come up with a couple of solutions. Generally, the employee or the person who brought the agenda item forward is the one that's going to present it. And, you know, we do try to keep that little presentation to under 5 minutes so that this doesn't go on and on and on about complaining about whatever. Like, give us the condensed version of what the problem is and then present the two solutions that you have. And if they have more solutions, great. Like, they can present as many as they want, but like, we need to focus on the solution part of it, not on the complaining part of it. So once those solutions have been put out there, then the group opens it up for discussion. So then we can kind of pick apart, you know, okay, well, I don't know if that one's going to work because of X, Y, and Z, but what about doing this way? And it creates kind of a group investment and a group problem solving, because that hive mind is so much better than just you coming up with the solution for everything. Most doctors also really appreciate this, because if you feel like you are everybody's problem solver all the time, this is an amazing routine to get your employees in. This kind of routine stretches outside of your office meeting. If you start empowering your employees to come up with those solutions by discussing it amongst themselves, then you're creating an environment where, rather than them coming to you saying, our fax system isn't working, I hate it, fix it, and you're having to problem solve that, they're coming to you with a, hey, our fax system really sucks. I already talked about it with these other two people. We all think that it would be easier if we did it this way. What do you think? Now you're just making an executive decision, right? So the doctor and the practice owner, you've taken yourself out of that, great, employee meetings are just for me to get a list of problems that I have to go fix. No, no. They need to be fixing those problems, right? And coming up with those ideas. You're making the executive, yes, we're going to do this. No, we're not going to do this. So the next part of that is your solution gets decided on, right? After everybody's discussed it and you've gone through it, now you've decided on a solution. Here's the last step, though. You put the follow through for that solution back to the employee who brought the issue on the agenda. Very rarely do we put it out on a different employee. Like, if it really is moving into a different department and we've decided, actually, this doesn't make sense for our back office person to do it, this is easier for front office to do it, I might give it to both employees, but, you know, then I might switch over who's getting it. But for the most part, the employee who brought that forward knows that they are going to get that as an action item for them to do after the meeting. And then we implement some kind of follow-up. So there's a deadline that they're either going to have that, you know, completed project to my office manager or to me, and they're just going to show me that they actually completed it. And so the only things that my office manager and I are now working on that are on our plate are making sure that those items are getting done. So we just have to do the follow-up on those things. This whole process really, really helps with employees bringing items to the table that are meant to actually be on the table, right? We're not just complaining. We're actually bringing things that need to be fixed. For two reasons. One, they know they're not just going to be able to complain about it. They have to have solutions. So they're going to have to put thought into it. And two, they know they're getting that item back. Like, they're not going to put anything out on the agenda that they're not willing to then go put the effort into fixing. So I think you'll be shocked the number of things that don't make it on the agenda when the employees know full well that they're going to be held responsible for actually making that change and getting that fixed. Now, item number three, the big step number three, is that we review things that have been going well since the last meeting. Again, this is kind of inserting some positivity into the middle of the meeting. We're giving out some kudos. We're talking about, hey, this person did really great on this item last time. How is this working for everyone? Right? This is where we're going through and we are now fine-tuning some of the things that we were working on at last meeting because things change. You may have discovered that our idea on how we were originally going to fix this doesn't really work because of these extra variables that we didn't anticipate. Great. Okay, cool. Let's pivot. Let's figure out how we need to fix that. That's pretty easy to make that pivot if you guys bring it again open to a group discussion because something's not working. So this section is usually pretty small because typically we've thought through and implemented things in ways that work, but you know, periodically we got to change some stuff. So I think also showing that you're open to changing things and open to the feedback from employees to say, hey, this isn't working the way we thought. Again, you're really empowering your employees to think through what works and what doesn't. This is a life skill. So I think this is an important section, but it's usually pretty short. Your shortest section is the last before you're done, which is your general to-dos. These are housekeeping items. Let's be real. These are like, hey, everybody needs to remember to take out their trash at the end of the day. Like, this is the stuff that if you have too many of them, it gets really monotonous, and this is where everybody's eyes glaze over. So this section, you really want to make sure, especially if you have an office manager, that you are reviewing their general housekeeping to-dos to ensure that this is not too long. If this list is super long, you have to start considering, do we need to be putting some of these things on a more weekly reminder? Do these things need to go up on the fridge as a sign, hey, clean out your stuff at the end of the week because it's going to get cleaned out of here? You know, things like that. Like, those should not be general housekeeping items that you're talking about once a month. If there really truly is a lot of them, odds are they're probably more continuous things that you need to be reminding staff about. So work with your office manager or figure out other ways to communicate those things throughout the month, not just at your office meeting. Now, typically here is where we would go ahead and wrap things up for the meeting. However, I do reserve this spot for the possibility of doing any kind of role-playing activities. Those of you that have not utilized role-playing, I would highly, highly recommend doing so. And by this, I am talking about getting employees some more practice in some areas that they are uncomfortable with having certain discussions. So let's say you're talking about, you have a new service, right? You've got a new service line. You want to have your staff able to discuss that service line a little more eloquently, right? Like a little more straightforward. You want them to feel comfortable with it so that they're confident in what they're talking to patients about. Great. Here's where you put in role-playing. So one of you is going to act like the patient and another employee, preferably the one who's having difficulty, acts as their role. And you go through how to do the wording. If you have a lot of employees to train on how to have this discussion with patients, but maybe you've got one person that's particularly good at it. So say you as the doctor, you're particularly good at talking about services. I would hope so. If not, that's a different podcast. And your office manager might be the other person that would be really good about this. Then I would say for your very first role play demonstration, go ahead and have, you know, you, the more knowledgeable person, or your office manager, be the employee, and then have your employee, you know, be the patient. And you know, employees kind of get into this. They have a really good time with, like, really trying to make it difficult on the person that is, you know, trying to talk about the service. So usually this is kind of a fun activity. And then you're going to reverse everything, right? So now that you've shown how it should be handled, you're going to have the employees start taking turns, actually practicing how to word things and how to have those difficult conversations. And if they can start to have some fun with it, it does really actually help when they go to turn and talk to patients or clients about it. So I think role-playing is a really fun activity. You obviously are going to end up doing that for a little longer than your hour, but it's segmented enough as its own thing that it doesn't seem to like drag on, right? Everybody's interactive, everybody's doing stuff. So you may want to book it for more like an hour and a half if you have any role-playing that needs to happen. But otherwise, you should be good with just your hour. And then that's it. You're going to go ahead and you're going to schedule your next meeting. And you're going to go around and you're going to ensure that everybody knows what their to-do lists are and then what their expectation is for when it's going to be completed. So really, really clear expectations, really clear timelines. Those are the things that you want your employees to come away from that meeting with. That's how we end up with a meeting that is really productive for the business. And by the time you come around to your next meeting, you really won't have a large list of things that, you know, now need to be revisited and need to be re-followed up on. Hopefully you guys all found this really helpful and got some good nuggets out of it. If there's any questions, please feel free to email me at drsarah@visionarypracticesolutions.com. Otherwise, we will see you next time on the podcast. Thanks so much for being here.